Blog Talk
Hello,
Radio.
this is 050 on the radio, and this is October 27th, 2016. I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the talent and the opportunity to do this show. Man, this week is going by pretty quick on Thursday. We're already on Thursday. Let's see here. Since did the show on Monday, we done had the NBA start. We done had the World Series to start tonight. You have college football starting, pro football starting tomorrow. The World Series gets going again. The NBA, well, that's going to keep on rolling. Then this weekend, all at one time, you're going to have that World Series going on, you're going to have the NBA, you're going to have college football, you're going to have pro football. Ooh-wee. And then next week, previews coming. That will be next Friday as we do three shows again. All right, well, you know what we got to talk about. We got to talk about the World Series, and this thing is even at one as last night. The Cubbies, they came up and they said, enough of this. And they tied this thing at one. Jake tied this thing at one, winning 5-1. When Jake Arrieta, boy, he put on a show, had a no inning for about five and one thirds. Did all the work he needed to do. And the Cubbies. You know that was wishful thinking. The Cubbies tied this thing at one. They're taking it to Chicago, and if I could get a plane ticket and a ticket to Wrigley Field this weekend, wow, that place is going to go bananas. It's normally bananas, but now you know that place is going to go nuts on Friday evening. Then the first home game in the first World Series game since, well, why don't we just talk about everybody's talking about 08, but, I mean, it's been years since they've had a game in Wrigley Field. Best field around, never gets to show off the stuff. I like the best when the ivy turns red. Red, I've always said, that's the coolest part. When nobody ever gets to see it, and we'll see if it starts turning red, because you know it gets cold early up there, and it's almost November, so you know how that works. Halloween, and all that good stuff. Oh yeah, it's gonna be pretty good. But anyway, wait, the Cubbies are going to John Lester in the first game. He struggled a little bit, but no problem, because you know who's going in the first game. That man, Kyle Hendricks. I keep telling you all year long, that's my guy. That's the guy I'm pulling for. He has been doing it. He's been the best pitcher in the National League. That includes Max Scherzer, by the way. He's been the best pitcher in the National League in the second half of the season. He's been unreal, led the league in ERA, right? And you know they are going to, you know, they got to go after it. I mean, right now you're looking at a series where if Wrigley gets hot, are you kidding me? I mean, we're talking about it's not going to leave town and all that other stuff. Yeah, I mean, hey, that's going to be rocking so much. Could be really big time for the Indians. They got Josh Tomlin. Remember how big he was last series? Just series going a day early and pitching a shutout. He's really been big time. And then, what about the name? The Schwarber guy, Kyle Schwarber. Remember, he was in Arizona when the postseason started. He was in the Arizona Fall League. He was rehabbing. And he's not even cleared to play in the field, but they brought him up to play DH for game two, and oh, you know what he did. Two RBIs off of two base hits. that kid, wow. That's all I'm going to keep saying. Then he comes up on the fall league, come in the World Series, acts like it's the fall league, and just keeps on going big time in Chicago. The pitchers start hitting. That'll be big time because you're taking that extra bat out of Cleveland hand. Yeah, the Cubs also miss one as well, but the Cubs are used to playing like this. This should be really interesting to see how the Indians work it in Chicago. So the first game will be tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Clock on Fox, I believe, right? Everything's on Fox this week. All right, well, to go to the NFL, man, I still would love to be in Chicago right now. Ooh, you know that place is going to be rocking and rolling. But anyway, NFL, they start tonight. The Jaguars are in Tennessee to go up against the Titans. You know, this is going to be a very interesting one to win because the Jaguars, they just haven't been able to get it going all year long. Well, they're giving up 27 points a game. The defense was supposed to be the strength of their team. Blake Bortles, remember last year, 35 touchdowns. Now he's struggling. He's had 9 interceptions already. And the offense has been one-dimensional. Got nothing from the running game. So he's throwing 40 times a game. Then bigger hot seat than Gus Bradley. He's 14-40 in his career in Jacksonville. Well, and, you know, now the rumors are going up. Who's going to be, you know, Bortles struggles a little bit. Are they going to throw Chad Henne in the game? You just never know. And meanwhile, they're playing a Titans team that is really solid. So DeMarco Murray, he's a third leading rusher in the league. He is taking care of business. And you look at this team right now, they're starting to play defense solidly. Mariota is calming down, not turning the ball over as often. Watch out for the Titans. To me, they're the only team. Well, I'm not going to say they're the only team, but they're the leading team, in my opinion, to catch the Texans in the AFC South. All right. Well, the Skins, they are off to London as they are playing the Bengals in Wembley Stadium, the legendary Wembley Stadium. And you got a whole bunch of stuff going on here, Jay Gruden going up against the Bengals, team that he was offensive coordinator for 3 years, I believe it was 3 years. And should be really interesting because we don't know who's going to play. We don't know if the Skins are going to have their three best players, Jordan Reed, Trent Williams, and Josh Norman. They're all injured. Don't know if they're going to be, you know, everybody's looking at Norman like, oh, man, you got to have him because Andy Dalton is cooking lately. His last four games, he has six touchdowns, no interceptions. He's on pace to throw for over 4,700 yards, and that would break the team record for the Bengals. And then you got this dude out there tonight by the name of A.J. Green leading the league in catches. He has 50 catches for 775 yards and 3 touchdowns. The fact that it's only 3 touchdowns is the thing you ought to be talking about. Well, so the Skins, you know, they've been running the ball really well lately, but the fact of the matter is their problem has been the same. They have not been able to stop the run, and they have been putrid in the red zone in scoring touchdowns. We'll see how that works out for the rest of the year. All right. There we go to Oakland. The Raiders will come up here going to Tampa Bay. I hate the 1 o'clock game. The fact is, they've been doing well playing the 1 o'clock game. They got it back-to-back weeks. Last week, they had Jacksonville rolled on them. Anytime they seem to play at 1, they play well. That's usually the opposite for the usually it's the opposite for the West Coast team. But here we go. Jack Del Rio has his team at 5-1. one, and it is really, really, they have really been impressive this year. Offensively, they have been rolling, and of course, everybody who's paying attention to the game knows you got Amari Cooper going up against Vernon Hargraves. That was one of the best duels in all of college when Cooper was at Alabama and Hargraves was in college, and people I don't know if people remember Cooper cooked 10 catches. I don't think it was 10 catches, 201 yards, 3 touchdowns, I believe. Lee just cooked them. And but Hargraves, he played very well in this first game. Not a surprise there, not at all. No, but you're gonna have to deal with Mr. Crabtree on the other side as well, who's been cooking as well for the Raiders. Meanwhile, the Raider defense is a whole different story. They rank last in just about everything. They've given up plays of over 40 yards a game. 40 yards or more. Evans, he's on pace to break the Tampa Bay season record in just about everything. Catches, receiving yards, touchdown reception. So the fact is, you got the Raiders. They're on the road. They're 4-0 on the road. They've been way better on the road than at home. And they're playing Tampa Bay, who's 0-2. If you ever, almost midway in the season, and you say, huh? How is this possible? One team is undefeated on the road. One team is winless at home. Just doesn't fit in any type of realm right there. But come see, come stop. Meanwhile, they are going to be going to Indianapolis to go against the Colts. It should be a good one, as the Chiefs. I'm trying to figure out a saying for what they do. They muck things up. That is pretty much what they do, except in Indianapolis. In Indianapolis, they just are not very good there. They're 1-6 in Indianapolis. They don't win there in the regular season or road. They lost there in 2006, and they lost there in 2013 in the playoffs. It doesn't matter with them. They just find ways to lose. Last time they played, remember, the Chiefs were up 28 points, but Andrew Luck had one of the biggest comebacks in the history of the postseason. He threw that long touchdown pass to T.Y. Hilton for the win. They won 45-44. Oof. That was one of the classic ones. Chiefs, that was a long time ago. We'll see how it works out in this one. But, hey, the Colts, they need to stay above ground because, hey, Titans are going by them, and the Texans, they're falling down, so they're getting all jumbled up. The Colts are going to have to stay above water. Meanwhile, the Chiefs, they got to stay with the Raiders. The Raiders are a half game ahead of them, even though the Chiefs have already beat them. So, but they're tied in the loss column. So going on in this one should be a good one. Over in Houston, they have the Lions going up against the Texans, and you got the antagonist or protagonist. Is that what I should be using here? Well, anyway, for Detroit, Matthew Stafford, he's been brilliant. I mean, he's been unbelievable. Well, third in the NFL in passer rating, fourth in touchdown passing, 8 in passing yards. They've been throwing the ball like crazy. So the running game, they got both running backs hurt. They've been out there with Theo Riddick, who's very good as a pass catcher, but not too much as a runner. And with all that, Matthew Stafford has 4 interceptions. Okay, sounds good. But the fact is, hey, you're going to the Texans place in Texas. They bring the noise defensively. They bring the noise defensively. But the fact of the matter is, right now, everybody's talking about Brock Osweiler and his embarrassing performance and his homecoming, would you call it, going to Denver. Couldn't get anything going whatsoever, ever, against uh, the uh, the Broncos, and then you had the Broncos who didn't really even pass the ball that often. They ran for over 300, almost 200 yards, two rushing touchdowns, and the Texans just could never get it going on either side of the ball against the Broncos. One of the real bad losses they've had in a while. It might be the worst loss. And looking to revamp some things up against the Lions. And the thing is the Texans, their main weakness is rushing defense, giving up over 135 yards a game. It's not going to matter too much if you can't run the ball. So should be a good matchup, Lions and Texans in Houston. In Buffalo. Ooh, this is a big one. But the Patriots, you know what they're trying to do. They're trying to make this. They're trying to end the AFC West division in October. It'll be November. It'll still be October. They're trying to end it in October. Okay, I'm losing a little bit. Hey, the Bills. It's real simple for them. They want to catch the Patriots. They better sweep them. Boom. They get them at home on Sunday. Look here. You come up here, and the Bills, they've already beat the Patriots once. Remember, 16-0. Then when Brissett, he was hurt, Garoppolo was hurt, and Brady was suspended, they had to put out Brissett, and they shut him out. Didn't have much of a game plan going there, but now Mr. Brady's in town, and they're going up against the Bills. You sweep the Patriots, you're one game back, and you have the tiebreaker because you would have beat them twice. So it should be very interesting to see how the Bills go after the Patriots differently here, because, yes, they still have Rex Ryan, and, yes, Rex Ryan drives Brady insane from time to time. So you really got to, calm down and take a, step back. And since Brady's been there, the Patriots been the Patriots, averaging over 31 points a game, almost 32, three in a row. Brady's completed 75% of his passes for over 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns, no interceptions. Has he ever been better? I mean, my word, not often you can duplicate all of that. But we'll see what happens, because the Bills get back Marcell Dareus. He was suspended for the first 4 games on the substance abuse policy, and then he had a hamstring injury. He missed the last 3, so he's ready to rock and roll. Big game for the Bills on Sunday. Then Denver. You have the Chargers going up against the Broncos. Remember that surprise game earlier this season where the Broncos, they were getting Simeon back, and they were saying, "Oh, well, we're back now," and then boom, the Chargers gave them a sucker punch. Walked in there, got a victory. Well, let's see what happens here. They're 3-4. They're not out of this thing yet. That the Broncos are 5-2. Yes, you know what that means. They got to go into Denver and beat them this time. But hey, that's how you come back in the division real quick. And you got a lot of different things going on here. Here you got Joey Bosa. He's back being a big part of things. He's had 4 sacks in 3 games, I believe. The running game has been non-existent for the Chargers, but the fact is Melvin Gordon leads the league in touchdowns. He does it both receiving and rushing, but he does it mostly rushing the ball. We know Phillip Rivers, he's been solid the whole time. But it's been the Broncos that you're like, what are they doing? Last week they got their running game going back, getting back going. Trevor Siemian back going, and hey, the Broncos, you know their defense is rocking and rolling. Meanwhile, they did get bad news. C.J. Anderson, he's going to be out for several weeks, but it doesn't matter. They bring in Devontae Booker, and they just kept on rolling big time by the Broncos. This should be a big game. The Broncos, they want to stay up with the Chiefs and the Raiders, all of them with the two losses in the division. All right. Right. Game I'm looking for. Oh yeah. Yeah. The Packers going to Hotlanta to play the Falcons. Aaron Rodgers not playing the way Aaron Rodgers normally think he's doing. He's not playing the way you would think he would, but the fact is he is still Aaron Rodgers. Don't forget it. Get it. He's going up against Matt Ryan. Both Matt Ryan's playing probably the best football. He done played since 2012 season where he was almost MVP of the league. And you come up because you know Atlanta's number one in scoring, then number one in total offense, and number two in passing offense. Friends, Matt Ryan, I think he set a league record, 46 consecutive games throwing for at least 200 yards. You got Julio Jones. He's on pace for getting 1,900 yards. The Falcons are just putting it up there. And when you got the injuries to Eddie Lacy and James Starks, you're going to have to throw the ball. You're not going to have too much of a choice. Last week, they were running the ball with Ty Montgomery out there with the Packers. So, should be a big time on there. And then you got the one on Sunday night. You got the Cowboys at home against the Eagles going in NFC East. Ooh, it should be nasty. Steve, both of them, they want a piece of each other. Both of them with rookie quarter. Both of them been playing really well. Well, and, who's the best rookie quarterback? I don't know. We're going to find out this game. But I do know this, the best rookie is going to tell who is what in this game, and that will be Ezekiel Elliott leading the league in rushing, and he's like running away with this thing. Like, what is going on here? This is like one of the greatest rookie seasons we've seen so far. And but don't sleep on the Eagles. Their defense has been solid. The whole time, Malcolm Jenkins has really been big time. Unfortunately, they got Ron Brooks is hurt for the year. So what has happened now, Jenkins, he's not going to be playing safety all the time. He had to play the slot and the nickel packages, which forces Jalen Watkins to go to safety. We'll see how that works. I don't know if the Eagles really want that, but, hey, we know it's all about the running game with the Cowboys. If they get the running game going, look out. Woo! All of that, and I didn't even give much time for college football, but let's roll with it anyway. Texas Tech, they will be at Pitt. This is a game for the Coastal and the ACC. See, that they win, they keep them ahead. If Pitt wins, that keeps them right on the heels of North Carolina. You got Jared Evans. He's one of the best quarterbacks out there. No one's talking about him. 229 yards passing, 60 yards rushing. Yeah, he gets it done for this team. But Pitt, they got one of the best defenses in the country out there, holding people to 97 yards rushing. They have 25 sacks, including the lead sacker in the nation, Ewan Price. Price on Friday, you have Navy going to South Florida. This game could be good. Navy can score up some stuff. They're still running for 293 yards a game rushing, but we're talking about a South Florida team averages 42.4 points a game. Quentin Flowers, he's one of the real underrated guys out there. They're 15 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He also had 8 touchdowns rushing. Don't sleep on that guy. On Saturday in Stillman, Oklahoma, you have West Virginia coming up there West Virginia, they're 1-7 unbeaten. They're keeping their moving. And it's been their defense, not their offense. They haven't been just outscoring people. Their last two games against Texas Tech and TCU, they've held them to 27 points. How you like that? And then Rochelle Snell, he's run for 100 yards two consecutive times, but we know how OSU goes. Those 41.1 points a game. You know Mason Rudolph. You know James Washington. Rushing them big time, people. But what about the freshman running back, Justice Hill? He ran for 162 last week. He had his third straight game over 100 yards. Watch out for Justice Hill. He can get it done. Oh, you know they've been waiting for this one, Ann Arbor, all year. They have been counting down for this game. They do not care that it's in East Lansing, Michigan. They are ready to roll right now. Now, they have been having 27, 23 plastered all over the locker room. They are ready to go, are the Wolverines. They're ranked number two in the country. The Michigan State, they're 0-5 in the conference. They've been awful this year. Do you think they care? No, they are coming to try to kill the Spartans. Spartans, we know Michigan, number one in total defense, number one in passing defense, number one in third down conversions. They just have been unreal. And the fact that they're going to be, Michigan State's going to be starting a redshirt freshman quarterback, Brian Lewerke. Good luck, Michigan State. Over in Utah, Washington is coming to town. And Washington, you even already know them. They've been thundering everybody all year, won every game by at least 24 points, except the Arizona game, which went in the overtime, of course. Of course, they have the top defense in the Pac-12. Well, they got the top passer in the Pac-12. Hank Browning, second top passer in the country. They got the leading rusher in the Pac-12, and Kyle Gaskins. But don't sleep on Utah. Troy Williams, the quarterback for Utah, he started at Washington. You know he's going to be excited for this one. And don't sleep on Joe Williams. Joe Williams, remember, he quit the team a month ago. He came back. And in his two games against Oregon State, 172, against UCLA, 332. Excuse me? That's what happens when you leave and come back? All right. Great, that's going to be in Utah. In Jacksonville, you have Florida versus Georgia. You know the deal here, Florida. They've been trying to get their offense going at 530 yards versus Missouri. They got the kid, Kyrie Cleveland, true freshman. He's catching them. He has over 20 yards a catch every time he catches the ball there. Georgia, they've been struggling. Hadn't really been able to get it going. They wanted to. Nick Chubb, they brought him back, but he really hadn't been able to get it going. Of course, they still had a freshman, Jason Easton, in there, but you know the largest cocktail rally is going to be over there big time in Jacksonville. Nebraska and Wisconsin, last time we had this game, we had the national rushing mark shattered by Melvin Gordon. Yes, we did, but now it's Nebraska. That's in the top 10 in the country. Best start in 15 years. Tommy Armstrong, he's been rolling. I told you at the beginning of the season, that was my guy. And he gets his number one receiver back, Jordan Westerkamp, this game. Wisconsin, we already know how they roll. They've been top 10. This is the fifth time in eighth game they played a top 10 opponent. They have played them all, baby. And their defense, they have only given up 8 total touchdowns all year. And here we go. Clemson and Florida State. You know Florida State wants a piece of Clemson just so they can mess around there and say they beat them. Last time we know that Sean Watson, 25-2. We know the loss to Alabama, but the other loss was in Tallahassee, that overtime thriller a couple of years ago. Gets Lane Thomas back. This should be a good one in Tallahassee. All right, we're going to review all of this on Monday. We're going to talk basketball, we're going to talk baseball and football on Monday. Talk to you then. Toodaloo and bye-bye.